Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Ella Jean Ehrlich.
I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
I'm Rosie.
This is Martina Navratilova.
This is Mark Forbes.
I'm Andy Murray.
You're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. A very Merry Christmas, one and all, wherever you may be listening to us, and a Happy New Year for 2018. The tennis season is very nearly upon us for another year. We can't wait. Catherine Whittaker and I, we're still in the Putney Exchange. It's where we live when we're not at home, eating turkey and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, it almost literally is where I live, David.
Yeah, it is just over the road. You know, I'm the one who has to do all the heavy lifting and go, you know, train after train. Anyway, enough of that. We are here for a special edition of the Tennis Podcast because, frankly, there's nothing else tennis-related to really talk about at the moment. We've done our Tennis Podcast Awards. We've got the New Year coming up. We've got the Australian Open on the horizon. We'll hopefully be back with Grand Slam daily shows if we can reach our Kickstarter target, which we are closing in on. If you haven't yet contributed and you want to, and you want to have daily podcasts from us at the Grand Slams throughout the Australian Open, the French Open, the Wimbledon Championships and the US Open, do go to kickstarter.com and search for Tennis Podcast 2018 or have a look at our social media channels, and any backing you can give us along the way, much appreciated. You can also, if you want, enter our predictions competition. The field is growing all the time. You can put your neck on the line against Catherine, student Matt, Rosie the dog, myself, Wayne Ferreira. He's an entrant into the Tennis Podcast Predictions Challenge in 2018. You can introduce a show, all sorts of stuff you can do. But Catherine, we're here for a special Christmas edition of the Tennis Podcast, and it's to talk about the movie Battle of the Sexes, which I haven't seen. But you've seen.
I have seen it.
So
yeah,
what do you think?
It's a good job one of us has seen it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is really. Otherwise,
yeah, the tennis podcast
work.
is sort of developing a sub category in movie reviewing, given that they're continually churning out tennis films. As far as I know, there are none in pre or post production. So this might be the last tennis podcast movie review for some time. So savor it, folks.
Yeah, unless we decide to start Tennis Podcast the Movie. Tumbleweed,
yeah.
For us, the Putney Exchange.
Paul Volt, who would play David Law?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a good idea. So,
yeah,
Catherine,
that bloke who played Jaws in James Bond died a couple of years ago, so...
Yeah, I'm his replacement. So, what do you think? What did you think of this film? This is the story of the 1973 meeting between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, a male chauvinist, self-confessed, who eventually took on Billie Jean King after having beaten Margaret Court previous to that. And this film tells the story of the events that unfolded.
It does. There was a documentary made about it in 2013, but this is an acted motion picture, I think is what they'd call it. Emma Stone playing the lead role, Steve Carell, one of my favourite people in the world, and I found it quite difficult watching him playing someone so odious because I just love him, but he did it brilliantly. Sort of four stars out of five, probably. It was really, really good, and I think from a review point of view, and please give me a bit of leeway here because I'm not a professional movie reviewer. I'm going to do my best. There's sort of two perspectives from which to review it. There's one of it as a piece of entertainment, as, you know, 2 hours of entertainment, and I think it did very well from that perspective, particularly well from that perspective. And there's it as a record, as an account of a very significant sporting and feminist moment in history. And I think it did very well from that point of view as well. And I think what it did particularly well is marrying those two things. It had a real brilliant element of fun and entertainment. It never lost its sense of humour, and yet it had a very serious heart, and the message and the seriousness at the heart of it was never lost for a moment either. From the entertainment side of things, brilliant performances, brilliantly acted, really tightly scripted. I think the scripts are where so many films fall down these days, but really slick and sharp and well paced. Similar to Borg McEnroe, the portrayals were bang on without ever straying into caricature, and I think that's a really difficult thing to do, to have an honest portrayal of a real life person who is still alive. Bobby Riggs isn't, but Billie Jean King obviously is, and it not feel like an impersonation or a caricature. I think that's, I'm guessing it must be incredibly difficult to do. Whether you're looking for sort of 2 hours of escapist entertainment or for a sort of educational couple of hours, and I would urge you to try and enjoy it as an informative couple of hours as well. It ticks both boxes, and I should probably hold my hands up really to being a bit dismissive of the Battle of the Sexes as a significant event in feminist history, and I think that is probably indicative of sort of a bit of the overprivilege of being a fifth wave feminist rather than a second wave feminist, because my position on the Battle of the Sexes was that it played into the hands of the people that misunderstand the argument, the likes of John McEnroe, who engage in the debate about where Serena Williams would be ranked on the men's tour, which, as I've gone into before, completely misses the point. To pit a man against the woman is not the point. It's like pitting a middleweight boxer against a heavyweight boxer and suggesting that we could learn anything of any significance from that. We wouldn't. And that's what I've always thought about it. But I realise now that the only reason we are largely able to have the level of nuanced and advanced debate about the still pervasive level of sexism in sport in the world that we are able to have now is because Billie Jean King and plenty of others fought the more basic battles that they did back then. You know, she wasn't fighting for anything close to equality. She was just fighting for a modicum of respect. There's an actual line from the film in on the morning of the Battle of the Sexes, this event that was watched by 90 million people worldwide. It was the biggest live tennis crowd there has ever been. It was in the Houston Astrodome. I mean, the scale of it as well is something that
I remember.
I hadn't
Evans,
quite appreciated.
Our colleague Richard Evans said he was based in Los Angeles at the time, and he said for 5 days running, it was front page news on the LA Times. He was having to write about it every single day.
And the scale of what Margaret Court took on, what Billie Jean King took on to her shoulders in doing that, what she knew was riding on it, what she had to deal with. You know, she was the representative of that. She had it all on her shoulders, you know.
She
that,
didn't want to play him, did she?
She didn't. But just to finish my earlier point, there's actually a moment in the movie where she's being hounded, chased by reporters in the hotel, you know. And one, you know, so I suppose it's a what one of the reporters says, Billie Jean, do you seriously think you can get equality for women? And she turns around and she goes, I'm not asking for equality. I'm asking for a tiny bit of respect. And I mean, that's desperately depressing, but you have to start somewhere, don't you? And I often feel a bit depressed about the level of debate about feminism and equality. I often feel a bit depressed that I even have to engage in some debates because it's all so obvious to me. But and I feel like, you know, what? Why am I constantly having to defend the fact that women should be treated equally to men? It sometimes feels like an indignity to have to engage in the debate, but it's a necessary indignity to get to the stage where there is no debate, where it's just accepted. And we've all got Billie Jean King to thank for the fact that we don't have to have the level of debate that we had to have in 1973. You know, in 1973, it was completely acceptable for people inside that Houston Astrodome to be holding up signs saying, "I'm a proud male chauvinist pig." That's where they were in 1973. And we're not where I'd like us to be now, but we're not at the stage where people are walking around with placards saying, "I'm a proud male chauvinist pig."
No, it is... When you look at some of those images and read some of the words that were exchanged and reports that were made, and even some of the commentary lines that were coming out in those matches around that time, it makes you realise just how far the conversation has moved on. Even if day to day it's difficult to see that progress, if you rewind that length of time, you realise that actually we are living in a completely different world.
Yeah, and we're talking about... Again, I had been dismissive about the nature of that debate, the man versus woman thing, because I thought it completely misses the point about... there's no point in staging a completely unlevel playing field and then talking about the results of the match that's played on it. For me, that is just... That's what angers me so much about the level of debate at the moment, the economics argument to equal pay. You know, for me, that is so grossly misconceived. And to hear the likes of, well, plenty of male tennis players, Wimbledon trotted it out in defence of their scheduling this year. You know, that is an accepted argument. That economic defence of unequal pay is an accepted argument. And that distresses me, but I see now, as a result of sort of appreciating what happened in 1973, that I can see where we might be in 20 years. I can see the progresses that has been made in the last 40 years, I can see where we might be, and that's really heartening. And Billie Jean King, in a lot of interviews she's done around the movie, she's talked about the fact that, you know, she was... Jack Kramer, it comes out as the real baddie from the movie. He was the executive director of the ATP at the time, a former tennis player himself. You know, Bobby Riggs is just a buffoon, really. His sexism is just... It's just a role he was kind of boorishly playing at the time. It was more about Bobby Riggs and his ego than it was about any doctrine that he particularly believed in. Whereas Jack Kramer... is portrayed as the real villain, really. The guy that really fundamentally believes the sexes are unequal. There's a line from him at one stage in the movie where he says, "Billie Jean, it's not personal. It's not your fault. It's just biology." That's very telling, isn't it? And it was acceptable to say that then. And, we've come an awful long way. And, in fact, Jack Kramer... was one of the commentators during the match, which is just staggering. And some of the things that he was saying, some of the passing remarks that he was making to his... You know, Billie Jean had to fight for there to be a female co-commentator on there. And what she had to endure in terms of remarks from Jack Kramer is amazing. But one of the things that Billie Jean King has pointed out in some of the interviews she's done around the film is that, again, on the subject of the unequal... playing field, which is not talked about nearly enough. It was only in 1972 that the legislation was passed in America, declaring for the very first time that equal federal funds should be spent on men and women. So it was only the year before, and it was only after that that scholarships were awarded to women for sport at university. So most male players at that stage had scholarships, had had university scholarships. I know Arthur Ashe had a couple of others as well. Stan Smith had, I think. And she had to, you know, work two jobs whilst funding her tennis training. And, I mean, that's just one of the bazillion ways that the playing field is unequal. And the level of dialogue that was palatable back in 1972 was the necessary precursor to a level of acceptance about the debate that we have now. We're nowhere near what we need to be. Back in 1973, women were making 59 cents on the dollar of what men were making, and now we're up to 79 cents. And that is 21 cents off where we need to be. But we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Simon Briggs wrote an interesting review of the film and brought a different tangent to what he saw that the primary role of the film and one of the primary stories it was trying to tell wasn't just about the battle of the sexes, but about the journey of sexuality for Billie Jean King, that she is depicted as having been married and then has discovered her own sexuality throughout the course of the telling of the film.
Absolutely, and in fact, in terms of narrative, that plays as big a part in the film as the actual Battle of the Sexes itself, and I think it's incredibly sensitively told. I think Andrea Riseborough is an incredible actress, and she plays the female love interest of Billie Jean King, and the whole process, the way her husband handled that, is really sensitively handled. And in fact, Billie Jean and her wife are godparents to her ex-husband's and his subsequent new wife. They're godparents to their children. So I'm sure there were moments where it wasn't amicable, but I believe it is an accurate portrayal that her husband was very supportive overall of the process that she went through. It's brilliantly well handled, and again, Billie Jean King has spoken beautifully about it, about how she just hopes the film helps people understand LGBTQ issues, and she says the unknown is what makes people homophobic, and I think that's a really, really important point. People are scared of the unknown, and so to shed light on that sort of thing is only a good thing. And for it to be, I mean, the Battle of the Sexes issue and that event and all of it, such a big thing for them to have dealt with that as well, to have dealt with the sexuality issue as sensitively as they did, and for the two things not to be conflated or competing with one another, was really, really well done. I have to say, Margaret Court does not come out of it particularly well. And it is possible. I've heard a few reviews suggesting that her sort of latter perception has tainted the way she's portrayed back then. Because she's completely, she's portrayed as deeply homophobic and as somebody that had spied that Billie Jean King might be gay and was therefore pretty negative towards her. Somebody who saw the whole as unsisterly, basically. She's portrayed as completely unsisterly, as not supportive of the women's libbers, as they were called then, and is both homophobic and not particularly supportive of the feminist movement, which I don't know what she was like back then, but she's not giving us now much reason to give her the benefit of the doubt, is she?
Interestingly, she did do a big piece with Oliver Holt in the Mail recently, who went to see her in Australia and challenged her views on a number of these issues. She stood firm on them. I'm still pleased personally that he took the time to go and see her properly and ask her the questions and not just go with soundbite answers as headlines. But still, it's still concerning that she sees things the way she does, in my view. But the other element that Simon Briggs's piece, and I guess the film as a whole, also just brings into focus is that we are still in a position where I don't think any male player has actively, while being an active player, come out openly whilst still being an active player. And that probably also tells you about where we are in and how far we still have to come.
Yeah, and we're further behind in the men's game in that respect than in the women's, but it's still not great. I mean, we've had Jocelyn Ray, the doubles player, retire from the sport this week, and there have been a number of interviews with her, very interesting. And she's talked about the progress that's been made and how indebted she feels to Billie Jean King for what she did for progress in terms of attitudes towards homosexuality in the women's game, but she also talked about how far she feels there is to go. That's another point I just wanted to quickly make about the Battle of the Sexes, and that is, I think a lot of good could come from there being some sort of big screening, mandatory screening for all WTA players to see that and, well, have a good couple of hours of entertainment, and also have an appreciation of what they're all a part of has come from. I know that sounds really corny, but it's important because I don't think a lot of them get it. I don't think a lot of them get the fight. There are a few, and you know, sometimes it feels like Serena's out there on her own fighting the good fight and she doesn't have a whole lot of support, and you know, none of them wants to be the one to stick their neck out, and I get that, and it's a shame that they should have to fight, and I get why a lot of them would feel like, you know, why, you know, they're all right, why should I be the one to fight? But it is a shame that they have this privileged position of being able to make a difference, and this applies to the men's players as well, and sadly it applies more to them because people take more notice when a man comments about gender issues than when a woman comments about them, but they all could be doing a lot more. You know, it's one thing me banging on about this stuff and people like me, but if someone like Caroline Wozniacki were to say it, or Garbine Muguruza or Simona Halep, you know, world number one or someone with status that people listen to, that's a completely different kettle of fish. So
at least there is a film, though, now that they can watch and hopefully be helped along the way. Incidentally, a couple of other reviews. I read a lot of reviews of this film without having seen it. The view was split. I think generally speaking, most people were pretty positive about it, most film reviewers. Camilla Long, the Times columnist, said, "So disappointed by Battle of the Sexes. What a clunky, cliched bucket of bollocks. Yet another film that tries to monetize feminism." I love the trailer and I'm a huge fan of Emma Stone, but it was all so unoriginal.
I sort of get where she's coming from in terms of unoriginal. It is not, given the quality of the source material, the quality of the raw materials they had in terms of the story to tell, it's not doing anything other than doing a good job of telling that story with good performances and a good script. It isn't the events were life-changing and significant. The movie itself is not groundbreaking. It's not, you know, that much more brilliant than watching a documentary about it. Many would probably prefer to watch a documentary. So I get what she's saying there. The monetizing feminism thing, I don't quite get her point. I mean, I do get her point, but I don't see where it applies here. I mean, if someone, we're not making enough films about women because the people that make decisions about what films to make and the people that make the films themselves are men, and they say that women's films don't make money, so they don't get made. And, you know, we need people with financial motivations to make movies about women. That's why we're so underrepresented in the media. And I don't get the point there.
Okay, well, that is the Battle of the Sexes, and I think, Catherine, it's a film you've taught me into watching. Not that I needed much talking into, but there aren't many good tennis films around, and we've kind of had two in a year.
The only two good tennis films I've seen.
Really?
Well, I can only think of Wimbledon.
There are others. Match Point, apparently. I haven't seen that
it's
one.
It's not about tennis, though. It features some tennis.
Right.
But it's not about tennis.
I quite
liked
Wimbledon. Everybody hammers Wimbledon. But,
come
you know,
on.
Corny.
Come on.
Loved it.
No, they're the only ones I can think of.
Anything else you want to add?
Anything else I want to add? No. Just, I mean, my moments as a film reviewer are numbered.
No, Catherine Whittaker, another career awaits, no doubt. Well, I'm certainly going to go and dig that film out and have a watch of it. Hope you do too. We hope you are having a very nice Christmas if you're listening to us over the Christmas period, and a very happy new year as well. We will be back in the new year. We're getting closer and closer all the time to funding our Kickstarter for Grand Slam Daily Shows. Weekly show is there, guaranteed. We've already done that. And we will be back in the new year with new shows. Catherine Whittaker and myself will be both in the Australian Open in Melbourne as well, and we will be speaking to you from there. But for now, thanks for listening to us throughout 2017. It's been an absolute pleasure to bring this show to you. We will be back in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport in the new year. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.